Jeremiah 10 and the first 16 verses. The 10th chapter of the prophet Jeremiah, from verse 1 to verse 16. Now I wonder what you think of this passage. It's very clear what it's about. The title over the top of my chapter, although it's not inspired, it says this: God and idols. And Jeremiah certainly is speaking about the making and the worshipping of idols. Now I wonder what you think about this. Perhaps you might say, well, it's nice to have a passage like this. We can breathe a sigh of relief. Because after all, the things Jeremiah says here, the things he criticizes here, are nothing to do with us today in our churches. We've long since grown out of making idols. Of course, we know that Judah and Israel, were very prone to this, and we know that many prophets spoke about this, and they did the same as Jeremiah. Sometimes they were very severe, sometimes they were ironical. They exposed the stupidity of idol worship. In fact, one of my sermons I called, "Do You Get the Joke?" This has been offensive to some people, but Isaiah was laughing at the making and worshipping of idols, and he was pouring scorn on it to try and bring Israel and Judah back from their idol worship to worship the one true God. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." That was the commandment, that was the law that they said. "All that you command us we will do." And yet we know that they made idols. Well, Jeremiah speaks about their idol worship here, and he speaks about it in the same tone as Isaiah does. He laughs at it. Verse 5, "Like a scarecrow in a melon patch." Their idols cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot walk. God carries his people, but idol worshippers have to carry their gods. And the whole thing is ridiculous, says Jeremiah. Verse 5, "Don't fear them. They can do no harm. They can't do any good even. They're useless." I was out for a walk yesterday and I saw a scarecrow had been taken off the field and thrown into the hedge, into the ditch. It was lying there, a scattered lot of remains of old cans and clothes, and it was useless. It was useless before, really, but that's their idols, says God. That's Jeremiah says, that's their idols. That's your idols. They're useless. Why'd you make them? And so on. And he goes over it, cutting down a tree from the forest and hammering the silver and the gold and putting jewels on it and worshipping it and so on. It's all a fraud, he says. A fraud. Verse 14, "Everyone is senseless and without knowledge. Every goldsmith is shamed by his idols. His images are a fraud. They have no breath and they're worthless. The objects of mockery. They'll perish. He who is the portion of Jacob is not like these. For he is the maker of all things." You've had to make your gods. See, he's exposing the stupidity of it. You have to make your gods. God made you, including Israel, the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord Almighty is his name. So I say again, how do you view this passage? Do you breathe a sigh of relief and say, well, at last we can hear a discourse from Jeremiah, and me, I suppose, where we can feel without being threatened. We're not under threat here. Oh? If you think that, my friend, if you think this has nothing to say to us, then you're making a gross mistake. Let me explain. Oh, but look, you see, we don't make idols anymore. I agree that in most cases we do not fashion and form gods for ourselves that we can see. Although, I have seen in shops in this country, I have gone and I can see their little idols in the room that they've made. Somebody made them. Don't they realize they had to make those gods? In Roman Catholic places of meeting, what they call worship. There's plenty of idols there. Oh, yes, we haven't got past it. But let us agree, then, that we in the evangelical world, shall I say that, we don't make images anymore. We don't make statues. We don't set up temples and buildings anymore. We don't do that, don't we? Is it not? Have you never heard of it? Of ministers, I'll use that word, inverted commas, to make a name for themselves and greatness for themselves, have encouraged the church to build massively, invest in bigger and bigger buildings, huge expense. God knows what it's all about. I can't see it in the New Testament, not. I can't see any glimmer of it in the New Testament, can you? So what's it done for? Well, we have to accommodate the numbers and so on. And there's a lot can be said about that. But I wonder, is there any power building, name building, empire building? Because that's getting closer to this modern idolatry. No idols today? Let me rattle off a few. Sex. He is a great God. Food. He is a great God. If it's not sex, it's food in this country. I'll tell you, if I'm speaking from the United Kingdom. If I look at the television programs, you know, if I look at the schedules, every other program is a food program. And if it's not a food program, it's a sex program. I know my maths has gone wrong, but it's not that. It's either putting weight on with having food or taking weight off with diet programs. Take food and sex and sport out of the television schedules and you haven't got much left these days. This is how books are sold. This is the biggest trade. Oh, sex, food, sport. That's a great God. Greed, power, empire building. I have been in many walks of life and I have seen people make empires out of the smallest details in offices, in school staff room, no doubt in the academic world, in the philosophical world, in the medical world, in the political world. Is it not in the churches? No empire building, no name building, no seeking to make a name for oneself. There are two verses in this passage we need to think about, my friend. Two passages in this section here. Let me give them to you. Take verses 2 and 3. This is what Jeremiah says. Okay, scarecrows in a melon patch and all that. You breathe a sigh of relief there. Listen to this. Do not learn the ways of the nations. In particular, don't be terrified by the signs in the sky, though the nations are terrified by them. For the customs of the peoples are worthless, and so on. There's a principle here. Israel, Judah, was going to the nations. It was going to the world, going to the pagans. I put it to you, my friend, much of what goes on in the name of Jesus Christ does not come from the New Testament and the New Covenant. It comes from the world. I reckon that if we knew what was going on, in many cases, there'd be precious little difference between the goings-on of the church in its hierarchy and its rule and governance and the corporate business in the boardroom. That's my contention. We have gone to the nations. We've asked them how they make their stuff work. How do they sell their stuff? What's their advertising technique? How do they do it? How do they address people? We'll do the same and we'll copy. And then 7 and 8, there's another principle. Among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is no one like God. They're all senseless and foolish and so on. What do I learn from here, from this passage? Not only was Israel, Judah copying the nations, Judah and Israel was doing this. They were looking for the great men, the wise men. Do we see that in the churches today? Let's go to the New Testament. Do we see it at Corinth? I am of Cephas. I am of Paul. Oh, I am of Christ, you see. Using Christ even in this prostitution way. Terrible. Bragging about men. What does Paul say to them? Take Paul, he says. Take me. Take Apollos, he said. Who are we? But ministers. Look at that word, but. We're only ministers, he said. We're only servants. And you're making a party and a group of men. Is there no superstars in our world, my friend? I know a man. Is he the only one who loves to stand and say, oh, so-and-so is my friend, trying to get kudos by association? Is there none of that about? I've seen it. Look at the politicians. They try to make a name for themselves so that they be remembered in the footnote. They want an ism named after them. Is there none of that in our churches? So what do I learn here? There is only one true God, and all other gods of our own manufacture, taking from the world, superstarism, stars in celebrities, in the films, in television, in sport, and in the churches. All this must be done away with, my friend. There is only one true God. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the way, as he said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is only one God. There is only one Savior, Jesus Christ. I know what I'm saying, and I'll say it. Do I address somebody who's a Muslim, a Sikh, a Hindu? Are you taken with Buddhism, Confucianism, whatever it might be? I tell you in love, my friend, the God you are serving is false. Muhammad is a deceiver. He is dead. You need Jesus Christ. And by the Spirit of the living God, Jesus Christ will save you and bring you to God the Father. There is one God, the triune God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. And unless you know him through Jesus Christ in a saving way, you will perish. I know that's not politically correct, but it's the truth. There is only one God, and he still stands willing to save you if you will come to him through Jesus Christ. But my main address here is to the churches of Jesus Christ. Let us search ourselves, my brothers. Let us look into ourselves. I read in my Bible that God made man in his own image. I fear we have made God in our image. And what we need to do is not copy the ways of the nations, not worry about the superstars. There is one great, great one we must know, Jesus Christ. Christ is all. All other gods are false, but the triune God made known to us through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit. The Lord is the true God. He is the living God, the eternal King. The Lord Almighty is his name. And I ask you to remember this. This passage comes in Jeremiah 10. It's sandwiched between what? Just before Jeremiah was prophesying judgment and punishment. How does he go on, verse 17? Gather up your belongings to leave the land, for you who live under siege, for this is what the Lord says, at this time I will hurl you out, and so on. Judgment. I have not been speaking in an academic chess game. These things are vital. Unless you know this true God through Jesus Christ, you will perish. And if we have any other gods, we are breaking his commandments. And I appeal to the believers, let us search ourselves, let us search our churches, and get rid of all false gods, for they are false, and let us come back to the Lord, our Maker, our Redeemer, our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ and his Spirit, the one true God, and worship him alone.